The synagogue. This is where Jews meet for prayer, worship and study. It is the centre of the Jewish community. The word literally means house of assembly or bringing together. And this emphasises the community aspect of worshipping God for Jews. So Jews worship in the home and they worship in the synagogue. And remember, it's most important for males in the Orthodox synagogue to worship together. So there are three key areas to the synagogue: the place of worship, the place to study the Torah in Hebrew, and a place to socialise with other members of the community. Now, the synagogue has some different names. So sometimes it's called a shul, a school. Sometimes it's called a house of study. Reform Jews often call it a temple, and that reminds them of the temple in Jerusalem. Now, there are some key features of the synagogue that you need to know about. The first one is the Aron HaKodesh, and this is the most important place in the synagogue. It's also known as the Ark of the Covenant, and it houses the Torah scrolls. It's a cupboard that's situated on the eastern wall facing Jerusalem. And it represents the Holy of Holies from the temple in the Jerusalem. It's covered by a curtain called a parakeet, and this reminds Jews again of the curtain in the temple. Lines of Judah and the Ten Commandments will be displayed above the ark. So the ark holds the Sefer Torah, the Torah scrolls, and it is the most important place in the synagogue. And the text you need to know for this is he brought the ark inside the tabernacle. He put a curtain for a screening, just as the Lord had commanded. So he brought the ark inside the tabernacle. Then he put a curtain for a screening, just as the Lord had commanded. Then we have the Ner Tamid. This is the ever-burning light. It represents the belief that the Torah has meaning and value for all times. And it also represents the idea that Judaism should be a light to all nations. It hangs in front of the Aron HaKodesh, and Jews are commanded to keep the lamp burning in the tabernacle at all times. So the quote for this is, "Keep the lamps burning before the Lord, the Ner Tamid, the ever-burning light." Then we have the Bema. The Bema is an elevated reading platform. It is raised to represent the sanctuary in the temple. The congregation look up to the Torah when it's read in the Bema to signify its authority. The Bema is at the centre to show the central importance of the Torah. The idea is that it is the centre of all Jewish life. And practically, of course, having the Bema in the middle means that it can be heard by everyone. Now, there are differences in the synagogue between the Orthodox and the Reforms. So, first of all, seating. In the Orthodox synagogue, men and women sit separately. In the Reform synagogue, they sit together. Secondly, the name. In the Orthodox, they call it shul. In the Reform, they call it temple. And the position of the bema. In the Orthodox, everyone faces the bema. And in the Reform, everyone faces the Aron HaKodesh. So we have the synagogue, the place of assembly. You have some key features, the bema, the Aron HaKodesh, and the Ner Tamid. The contrasts are the way that Jews arrange the seating in the synagogue, how they name the synagogue, and the position of where they sit to worship. The importance of the Torah in Jewish worship. The Sefer Torah are the Torah scrolls, and they're kept in the ark. And this shows their importance, that they're given a special cupboard and that they're the focal point of attention in the synagogue. It's a great honour to read the Torah in the synagogue, and boys first read this at their bar mitzvah. They train for about a year to learn how to read the Torah in Hebrew, and that is a real honour when it's their bar mitzvah ceremony and they read out loud for the first time. The Torah is read on a Monday, Thursday and Saturday in the services, and the whole Torah takes about a year to read in Orthodox synagogues and 3 years in others. When the Torah is taken out of the Ark, it's walked around the congregation to the Bema. As it's passed, Jews bow or kiss or touch the Torah with their tallit, all to show how important it is. Now, the Sefer Torah is handwritten, and so it's not touched at all when it's read. They use a special pointer called a yad to help readers keep their place in the text without getting their mucky hands all over it. The Torah is written in Hebrew, of course, and Jews believe it is the word of God. The Orthodox Jews believe that the whole of the Torah was given directly to Moses, although Reformed Jews do not agree with this. So the Torah is of central importance in Jewish worship. It is read in Hebrew on a regular basis, and it is the foundation of Jewish life. Prayers in Judaism. So the first prayer is the Shema, simply meaning listen. And of course, Shema means both listen and respond. So Jews are commanded to Shema, to listen to God's word. And it is the Jewish declaration of faith. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And this is recited 3 times per day. Of course, the Shema takes central importance in Jewish life. It's the first thing a Jew hears. It is kept in a mezuzah when they're in their homes. It is part of the prayers of the Tefillin. The Shema is a really important prayer. Listen and respond. Listen to God and respond to what he has to say. Then we have the Amidah. The Amidah is a standing prayer, and it should be said standing towards Jerusalem. There are 19 blessings, 3 for praise, 13 requests and 3 thanksgiving. It's spoken with movements rather than out loud in some synagogues, and in other synagogues they will say it out loud. Reformed Jews have modern ways of saying the Amidah, which is put to music. Others in the Orthodox tradition say it moving forwards and backwards, but say it underneath their breath. Then we've got the Kaddish. The Kaddish means holy. It's a hymn of praise to God. This can only be said when there's a minyan presence. There are lots of different Kaddish prayers for different occasions. Then you've the Alleluia. This is a prayer of praise to God and shows Jews' dedication to God. And it reminds Jews that God is eternal. It reminds them that they are the chosen people of God. And it's said at the end of the service. Many Jews bow at the Aron Kadesh when saying the Alleluia, as if they are bowing towards God. And the most important thing is this is the closing prayer of the synagogue. So we've got the Shema, the Amidah, the Kaddish and the Alleluia. Shabbat. Now you need to know about Shabbat in the home and the synagogue, and you need to know its significance. So Shabbat is the Jewish day of rest. It starts at sundown on Friday and ends when the stars are out in the sky at sundown on Saturday. The importance of Shabbat is emphasized in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Holy means different. So the Sabbath day should be different to all other days. And it's part of the Jewish agreement with God, the covenant with God. The Talmud forbids 39 areas of work. So you must not do any work on the Sabbath. You must have a day of rest and worship. Only Pekur Nefesh overrides this rule. So you can override the Jewish command to rest if a life is at risk. So Shabbat reminds Jews of the creation of the world. And it's part of the covenant because you have to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And the Sabbath actually defines the Jewish community now. It really shapes who they are. Now, when it comes to observing the Sabbath, different Jews will do different things. So we're going to first of all look at some of the ways in which it is celebrated in general, and then we'll look at how Orthodox and Reformed Jews vary their practice. So Shabbat starts in the home. It starts with the mother lighting two candles and saying a Kiddush prayer. And the candles must be lit before Shabbat begins, because striking a match is counted as work. Jews will prepare all the meals beforehand so that they can have a day of rest. On Shabbat, Jews often go to the synagogue. Jewish males go to the synagogue on a Friday evening, and they'll have a family meal together. On a Saturday, they'll usually go to the synagogue for a Torah reading. They will participate in worship using the siddur, the prayer book, and then in the evening, in the afternoon and towards the evening, they'll have a time of studying the Torah or a time of family time. When Shabbat ends, they have a Havdalah ceremony. There's a Havdalah candle, which marks the end of Shabbat, because you can light a match again once Shabbat is over. And the word Havdalah means separation. You are separating Shabbat from the rest of the week. A spice box is lit and passed around, and the spices represent the peace of Shabbat flowing through the week. And Jews really believe that Shabbat is good for them. It is good to rest. It is good to worship. It is good to spend time with your family. Now, you'll need to know contrasting ways in which Jews celebrate Shabbat. So Orthodox Jews tend to be very strict about not working on Shabbat and not doing any of these 39 areas of work. Therefore, they will cook all food ahead of time, because even lighting a candle or turning the oven on is considered work. They won't use the car, and they'll tend to avoid anything they can which involves electrical devices. By contrast, Reformed Jews might use electrical devices, including mobile phones. They'll put a real emphasis on enjoying Shabbat, playing games, going for walks, spending time with family and friends. So they'll follow the tradition of Shabbat, but they might not follow the letter of the law. So Shabbat defines Jews. It's a symbol of the messianic age to come. It's an act of worship, it's a mitzvot, and also it's a time when the family can draw together. Worship in the home. The Jewish home is very important, and lots of worship takes place at home. So first of all, we have the mezuzah. A Jewish home may be identified by the mezuzah on the doorpost of the house. Jews touch the mezuzah as a sign of respect. The mezuzah contains the Shema and reminds Jews that God is present wherever they may be. Jews pray at home and in the synagogue. They pray three times a day. At home, they will stand and they will pray silently. You'll notice a Jewish home, particularly an Orthodox Jewish home, by its kitchen. Jews may have two sets of kitchen utensils to keep the laws of kosher. They do this to keep meat and dairy separate. in the dining room, lots of Jewish worship takes place. So they might have some candlesticks, goblets for wine. And in a Jewish home, the dining room will be of central importance for meals at Shabbat and Passover. You'll need to know some contrasting ways in which Jews worship in their home. So your contrasts are keeping kosher. Some Jews will have a separate kitchen for meat and dairy. Others won't bother. They may try and keep kosher rules in their household, but they won't go to the lavish expense of having two distinct kitchens. In terms of keeping Shabbat laws, some Jews will be very, very strict in not using electricity and might have timers on all their switches so that they don't use electricity during Shabbat. Other Jews will be much more relaxed about that. So, crucially, your two examples of how Jews worship in the home are by keeping kosher, by following the Shabbat laws at home. You could use by celebrating festivals such as Passover. Remember, Judaism is a religion of life, and therefore worship in the home is important, just as worship in the synagogue is important. The written law and the oral law, Tanakh and Talmud. I know we find this very, very exciting. However, it's got to be done. So the specification expects you to be able to write about their study, use and significance in daily life. Study, use and significance in daily life. Tanakh and Talmud. So the Tanakh is made up of three books, the Torah, the Ketubin and the Nevin. The Torah is the book of guidance. It's the law, the books of Moses, which are considered to be the word of God. So Torah itself means guidance or instruction, and it's the rules that Jews must follow. The Ketuvim is a set of writings. So these are made up of a whole host of stories, songs, poems. And they show the Israelite people's commitment to God. Lots of the books of those are quite unconnected, but the story is the story of the Jewish people, their commitment to God. And then the Nevin is the books of prophets. So this is about the history of the early Jews and how God revealed himself to those people and how they understood God. So those three books of collections of writings, should I say, make up the Tanakh. Then you've got the Talmud, and the Talmud is the oral tradition. So the Talmud makes sense of the Torah, of the laws. It unpicks it. The Talmud is studied, not read. The Talmud is studied, not read. So in the history of Judaism, the Torah could be quite difficult to understand, and Jews had to work out how to apply the laws to their modern living. And through this, Jewish rabbis and experts developed what we call the oral tradition. So it's those are the ways in which Judaism was understood. And it's trying to relate the problems of living with and to the 613 commands.